Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We know that in all things, God works for those who love Him, those who have called according to His purpose. Our song of worship is hymn number 191, Spirit of God in the Clear Running Water. Let us sing. Let us pray. Spirit of God, who breathes new life into us every morning, we welcome you in this place. Be with us now throughout this worship experience. Breathe new life through the words, through the songs, and through your table, so we may not leave this place ever the same. And now we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. Again, we welcome you to our worship experience. If you are a visitor, we especially give you welcome in this time of worship. If you have not noticed, Reverend Allison is still on vacation, so we are delighted to have Reverend Ellen Brown here to give our message and our sermon for this morning. So we thank you for joining us here in worship. Next week is Palm Sunday, and is also the last week for Easter lilies to be ordered for the sanctuary service. So if you look at the yellow Get Connected sheet in your bulletin, if you would like to order an Easter lily in honor or memory of someone this year, they are $8 each, and next week is the last week that we will be collecting money in preparation for Easter in 2 weeks from today. There are various sign-up sheets out in the fellowships area, and if you are willing to volunteer, we need someone to lead the fellowship time and provide snacks for next week. So if you are interested, please sign up on the sheet. Now, there is an announcement, I know, regarding the roof for the outside.
I'm very happy to report the completion of one of the largest projects we've done in many years. If you've walked around this side of the church, you'll notice the scaffolding is all down and the major roof work has been completed. The new overhanging roof will protect the wall from all the water and all the water damage that's been done over the years. The total amount of the cost of this project was $40,000, and that's the largest thing we've done in I don't know how many years. It would not have been possible without those that went before us and left memorial money, and also those that gave to the Capital Improvements Fund. This took approximately two-thirds of the money that we had saved up. The last thing, the finished part of this job, will be having estimates made for the plaster and paint repair. I'm pleased with the job the workmen did. The overhang will really protect the wall. If you want to see the new work, you can walk around that side of the church. It was done in a manner that fits the architecture of the building in 1898, the overhang and the type of woodwork they did. I'm very glad this project has been completed. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? With that, our song of praise is hymn number 2220, We Are God's People, is located in the black hymnal. Let us stand and let us sing.
Thank you.
Will the ushers come forward for the offering? Let us pray. O Lord, for all that you have given us, we take this time to give back a portion of that which is already yours. We ascribe these gifts to come into your courts. May these gifts be used to uplift and further your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And now it's time for his children's message.
Good morning.
All right, so have you ever had a day that you felt was down in the dumps? If you've never heard of that saying before, it's a saying that people say all the time. So let me ask another way. Have you ever had a bad day? Did your back hurt? That was a really bad day? Sorry. So sometimes you have bad days. So what kinds of things do you do when you say that you have a bad day? So do you think when you have a bad day, you just kind of want to go to your room and just kind of sit by yourself and just think and meditate and kind of just relax and escape the world? Or so even when you get older, that sometimes still happens. So there are a lot of times in which you just want to escape and just run away. And so there's a scripture passage in Ezekiel 37 that talks about this place called the Valley of Dry Bones. And it's the ultimate kind of example of people having a bad day. And so what happens in that story is that God comes and breathes life into people who were dead before. And the first thing that happens is that they say that they're hopeless, and they say that, oh, we've had a really bad time, we had a really bad day, we don't know how to feel. But then, as the story continues, we see that God speaks again and says, no longer will you be here in this kind of bad place. So think of the valley as this place where all the bad things happen all of the time. And so you're just kind of having this cloud that just hovers over you and it can't go away. And so at the end of the scripture in Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel and the Israelites that you will no longer be in this place where bad things happen all the time, but that he is calling us to, or he's calling the Israelites to go into, or back into their homeland and to kind of have happy days again. And so the next time that you have a bad day, just think about and pray that God breathes new life into you so that you no longer have a bad day, but that you can see the sunshine in the midst of the dark clouds. Okay? Alright, so let's pray. Oh Lord, you breathe new life into us. We thank you for this time. Allow us that when the storms of life approach, that you are there to breathe life into us, to lead us out of the valley and into your promised land. In Christ's name, amen.
It is good to be with you today. It's nice to come back to a place that feels so comfortable and welcoming and at home. So many of you greeted me so warmly this morning, but I tell you, the best greeting I got was from Brennan. It's a time when we come now for the prayers for the community, not only the church body, but for the broader community and the world. Dave has the microphone ready to get any prayer requests that you want to add to the list that is in your prayer list, in your bulletin already. So let him know if you have something that you would like to add, a praise or a prayer request.
I'd just like to request prayer for Ben and his family. It's kind of an unspoken request, but if you could remember them this week, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I'd just like continued prayers for my aunt who's recovering from a broken hip.
I too have a current concern. I don't know all of the details that can be given out at this time, but Lois Smith is very much in need of prayer.
Lois Smith, is that the name? Lois Smith, okay. I didn't hear that up here. Anyone else?
I just want to give thanks for a very good visit to Philadelphia and my family. My father in particular, who had a stroke last year, and his one-year anniversary of that stroke was the 28th of March. And on the 27th, we were actually able to have supper together, which was really a wonderful thing because he's been on the tube for most of last year. So I just want to give thanks for that.
That is a praise and a gift to you and to him. Anyone else? Praise or a prayer request? Well, you do have the prayer list in your bulletin. We certainly want to be praying for your pastor as he's been away this week. And we trust that this has been a week of relaxation and renewal for him, and that he returns for Holy Week. There are many other names on here. Some we don't know, but some we do. And I know that each of us have prayer requests on our own heart. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then I will lead us. Loving and gracious God, we come before your throne of grace on bended knee with uplifted hands in praise and thanksgiving to you. We thank you for this day, for the beauty of it, for sunshine and trees that are beginning to bud and new life that is coming back in nature. We thank you for this place where we can come away from the world and all of the hecticness of our lives, to be together in fellowship with one another and with you. But we ask you to forgive us when we are not all that we should be. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be in our homes, in our work, in the world. This moment we lift up those in our church family unable to be present with us today. We also ask for safety for those who are traveling. We lift up those who are at home or awaiting results of medical tests that will determine the next step. Grant them peace in the midst of uncertainty. For those who are homebound and those who are grieving and those facing difficult circumstances, we ask that you grant each one your strength, your peace, your patience, and your hope. We pray for all of the names that are on this prayer list, all those that are on our minds and in our hearts who need your touch today. We lift up those who are serving to protect us so that we can live free. But we know that with freedom also comes responsibility for those whose freedoms have been taken away from them or are being limited here in our country and around the world. Because of the freedom that we have in you, we are called upon to stand up for injustices and to speak up for those who have no voice. In this hour, we pray for this congregation. Grant wisdom and discernment as they seek to minister in your name in this community. Show them how you want to use them so that this church will continue to be a place where people meet the living Lord. You have called us out of this world in order to go back into it, to meet the needs that we see around us. So help us to be change agents in our families, our work, and in our neighborhoods. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and enable us to reflect him so that others might see Jesus in us. As we continue our time of worship, may we feel the presence of your Spirit in our midst. Grant us new eyes, ears, and hearts so that we can be people of purpose. Speak to us in this hour. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Our song of meditation is Spirit of the Living God, found on the inverse of the announcement sheet. Let us stand and let us sing.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from the second chapter of Philippians, the 13th verse. Reading from the Common English Bible translation, may we hear this word of scripture. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out His good purposes. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Choir and Mary Lou. I'd forgotten how beautiful that window is, especially when the sun is shining in, and I'm sorry that I'm the only one that can see it, and David and I. Will you pray with me? Lord, may my voice be your voice, and help us to hear what you want us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In January, Dave and I were finally able to go on a long-awaited cruise to the Caribbean.
It was just a five-day cruise, and we had just two ports, Cozumel and Key West. Now, Key West is a place that I have always wanted to go to, and so I was really excited about it. Unfortunately, the day we were there, it was pouring down rain. But that didn't stop us from getting on one of the hop-on, hop-off trolleys and to get a tour of things. And then we got off of that, and it had stopped to rain a little bit, and so we went to the Ernest Hemingway house. It was very interesting to go into this house where he had lived. All the things are still there exactly the way he left them. Things that he collected from all over the world, pictures of exotic places he had been to, pictures of famous people that he knew. There was the first edition copies of some of his novels, like The Sun Also Rises or Whom the Bell Tolls. There were a couple of black old manual typewriters that he had actually typed those manuscripts on. We got to see his writing studio with everything still there. And we even saw the six-toed cats that are still roaming the property and the entire house. And they are the grand, great-grand kittens of those that were there when he lived there. Ernest Hemingway was a literary genius. He was also known as a tough guy. He traveled to exotic places. He was a big game hunter, a bullfighter, and he could drink anyone under the table. He was married four times, and he lived a life seemingly void of any moral restraint or conscience. But there is a side and a part of his life that most people don't know about. Ernest Hemingway grew up in a Christian home. His grandparents were missionaries, and his father was a devout churchman. In his boyhood and teens, Ernest was very active in the church. But when he left home, at some point he turned his back on the church and the Lord. And then one Sunday morning, he took a shotgun to his head and pulled the trigger. At one point he said of his own life, "I live in a vacuum that's as lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there's no current to plug into." In Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, there's a conversation that takes place between Alice and the Cheshire Cat. Alice says, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go?" "That depends a great deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. The cat replied, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." A life without direction or purpose is not much of a life. Scripture passage that David read for us today is one that I have memorized years ago, but I memorized it from another translation. It says, "God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purposes." But I like the Common English translation, which is one of the newer translations. I like the words that it uses when it says, "God enables you both to want and actually live out his purposes." A purpose is something that gives us meaning and something, a reason for doing something. And when we do something on purpose, we're doing it intentionally. It's not accidentally. So in order to live out God's purposes in our lives, we have to be intentional. Well, many people will say, "Oh, I would love to fulfill God's purposes in my life." But then the excuses begin. There are the if-onlys. "Well, if only I had more time. If only I had more talents. If only my husband would join me. If only my family understood. If only, if only, if only." And there's the when. "Well, when I have more time. You know, when my children are out of the house. When I'm retired. When the circumstances in my life are different." But rather than saying if only or when, we need to say with Paul, as he said in the first chapter of Philippians, that whatever happens or whatever's going on in your life, we are still called to lead purposeful lives that are worthy of our high calling in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the living extension of Christ's hands and feet and voice. We are to present and represent Him to the world. Now that may scare you a little, and you say, well, I don't have the gifts for it, I don't have the talents, I don't have the training. Let me remind you of some of the people that God used in the Bible and their circumstances that He used. And listen to some of these people. Abraham was on Medicare. Noah got drunk. Moses had a speech impediment. Jacob was a cheater and Joseph was an ex-con. Miriam was a gossip. Rahab had a history of sexual misbehavior. David was a homicidal adulterer. Elijah was bipolar. He outran a chariot one day and he was suicidal the next. John the Baptist ate bugs. Thomas doubted, Gideon panicked, Martha obsessed over housekeeping and food preparation. Jonah was directionally challenged, Samson was relationally challenged, Zacchaeus was vertically and integrity challenged. Jeremiah said he was too young, Sarah said she was too old. Peter had a temper, and he was also the poster boy for spiritual attention deficit disorder. And Paul was not exactly Dale Carnegie in the tax department. Last but not least, Lazarus was dead. These are some of the people that God used to change the world. Now, could he have done it in a different way? Of course. But he chose instead to use people like Sarah and Jonah and Moses and Esther and Peter and Paul and you and me. When I served as the director of Missionary Kid Care for International Ministries, I worked with 150 children, youth, and young adults. And it always amazed me to watch some of them as they allowed God to use the circumstances in their lives to shape them, to use them for His purposes. And I'd like to tell you about a couple of them. Silas Shaver is the adult son of newly retired American Baptist missionaries Chuck and Ramona Shaver, who served for 25 years in Mexico, where Silas grew up. When Silas was in college, one summer he was given a grant, research grant, to work on Mexico-U.S. immigration issues. Because of his own experience of cultural transitions, he could relate to the immigrants that were coming from Mexico into the United States. After college, Silas went on and earned a degree because he said, I want to be able to affect change. He now works for an organization that works with the many, many migrant workers in Southern California who work the fields. And he works on their behalf to be sure that they are paid fair wages and that they have health and benefit and that they have a voice and that they will not be fired for speaking up. Travis told me one time, he said, it's okay, it's great that I speak Spanish, but a lot of people speak Spanish. But he said, I feel called to service and I want God to be able to use me for His purpose. Marcy Chapman was born into a third-generation missionary family. She grew up in Chicongo, a very remote village on the top of a plateau in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It is very remote, and I know that from first-hand experience. And the only way that you can get in is on a prop plane and landing on a grass field. Marcy watched her parents, Glenn and Rita, as they helped the Congolese people teach them how to cultivate and grow crops that would grow in that soil. Marcy went to college and majored in international agriculture. When she graduated, she served for 2 years with an organization called ECHO, located in Florida. And this is an organization that works only in third world countries with the hunger problem, and they use very innovative agricultural options. After she was there for 2 years, then she served with an organization called SIM, Serving in Mission. And she served for 2 years among the Mersey, who are a semi-nomadic people in the southwest part of Ethiopia. And while she was there, she used agriculture and trees to bridge into their lives. Marcy is committed to be working on world hunger, but she also knows that each person has a hunger for God inside them. She and her husband currently are back at ECHO. While he's working there, she is finishing up her master's in international agriculture, waiting to see how God is going to use them next. One of the most amazing young women I've ever known is Anna Perkins. Anna is the daughter of David and Betsy Perkins, who served as American Baptist missionaries in India. Anna is one of those individuals who looks at every experience and circumstance in her life as an opportunity to grow and to be challenged, and she always looks for a way for her to be an instrument of God. She graduated from college in 2009. She immediately went to a 11-month learning and serving program with the Franciscan Ministries in Camden, New Jersey. Now, if you know anything about Camden, it is one of the toughest cities in the United States, and she was working in one of the toughest neighborhoods. From there, she went and served for 2 years with the Mennonite Central Committee, which is the mission-sending arm of the Mennonite Church. She served 2 years in Belgrade, Serbia, with people in trauma and people with post-traumatic stress syndrome. She currently is earning a dual degree of Master of Social Work and a Master of Divinity, and preparing herself for how God is going to use her. Now, you would say to me, well, you're talking about very young adults who've had these extraordinary experiences, and they're very well trained to do God's purposes. But you know what? It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, who you are, what age you are. God has a purpose for you, and He's always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey those purposes. It's not a matter of if only or when, but whatever and always. God wants to use you, but you have to be willing to step out in faith to live on purpose. I want to tell you about another missionary kid by the name of Nate. Now, when I was with you for 13 months, I know I shared part of Nate's story with you, but I will refresh your memories because I know that you remember all of my sermons from then. And then I will finish Nate's story. Nate grew up in his early years in Russia, where his parents were missionaries. They lived in an old, run-down, communist-built apartment in the center of Moscow. They were the only non-Russians in their community. It was not easy. At one point, Nate's dad went to the aid of one of their neighbors. And then Nate and his two young sisters watched as their father was brutally beaten. After 5 years of serving there faithfully, it just became too dangerous for their children, and so they moved from Russia to Riga, Latvia. Nate was a junior in high school at the time, and that year was a tough one for him at the international school. And so the family made a very difficult decision, but they decided to send Nate back to the States for his senior year in high school at a high school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and he lived that year with some friends. Well, I don't know whether it's because, you know, he's 17, 18 years old, mom and dad are 1,000 miles away, he had a little more freedom than he was used to, but Nate chose some friends that weren't the best friends for him. He made some poor choices that led him to commit a crime which sent him to jail for 5 years. Now you may think, well, now how is this a good example? Well, while Nate was in prison, he turned his life back over to God. And he wanted God to show him how he could use him where he was, but also to prepare him for when he got out of prison. And so he was reading his Bible and praying. He was taking correspondence courses. He participated in the worship at the prison. He went to a Bible study with other Christian inmates for mutual support. He sang in the choir and played in the praise band. He encouraged other inmates, and he even led some of them to Christ, including one of his cellmates. Well, Nate served his time, all 5 years of it. And he's out now. He's been out for a couple of years. You know, what seemed to be a terrible circumstance in his life, and I know that it wasn't easy for him, and it altered his life for the rest of his life. But God was able to use that. Nate has a job. He's active in his church. He has a supportive wife and two beautiful children, because he allowed God to reshape him and to use him so that he can live on purpose. None of these individuals that I have mentioned are extraordinary. But they just made the decision to look around them, to look at their circumstances, to see how God could use them to fulfill his purpose in their lives. You know, the circumstances in your life might have you asking, what's God's purpose for me right now? You may feel like God is done with you, you know? He doesn't have a purpose for you anymore. But you know what? It doesn't matter where you are in life, what season you're in. You might be in high school or college or in newly married, single, married, parents with young children, teenagers, empty nesters, retired or widowed. It doesn't matter what season you're in. And those purposes that God has for us change from season to season. So we always need to be asking what his purpose is for us. I know that there are possibilities within the church of things that you can do that God has a purpose for you. You might say, oh, well, I don't sing and I don't get up in front of people. But you may do work well with your hands. So talk to Peter about helping the trustees with things around the church. You may be the best cook, so use your skills to take food to Family Promise or stepping up. But you may say, but you know what? I physically can't do a lot of things, but you can pray. And you could turn that into a ministry. Take the beautiful cards that Genevieve makes and take the prayer list every week and send cards to the people that are on that prayer list. Send them to the college students. Send them to the people in your neighborhood. The church continues to be working out an outreach into this community. And so there are things there. If you've never been to Andrew's house to serve a meal, maybe God wants you to do that. Or to volunteer at the food pantry. Maybe his purpose for you right now is just to be that person in the life of somebody, a neighbor, an elderly neighbor who's lonely, a single mom who just needs a listening ear, a friend at school who's being bullied. We need you to walk alongside them. God has a purpose for us wherever we are in life and whatever our circumstances are. In this season of Lent, as we remember what Christ did for us, he died so that we might live and so that we might live with purpose. So the question for each one of us today is, will you allow him, the one who enables you to both want and actually live out his purposes, will you let him take you where you are right now and reshape you so that you can always live on purpose? Let us pray. God, you call each one of us and you give each one of us purpose in life. Help us to allow you to shape us to do what you have us to do. We know that you will go ahead of us and walk beside us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 385, Take My Life and Let It Be. We're going to sing all verses because this verse just talks about giving everything, our hands, our feet, our voice, our gifts. So let us stand and sing all verses of number 385. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Come now to the Lord's table. It's not a Baptist table. It is a table for all of those who have proclaimed Christ as their Lord and Savior. We come to this table because God showed his love for us by sending his Son to die for us. We come because of Jesus' willingness to drink the cup of suffering and death. We also come because Jesus asked us to remember what he did. And we come to this table because he calls us to follow his example of being a servant. Let us now pray for the bread and the cup. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this table. As we eat and drink, may we feel your presence. May your Spirit allow this bread and cup to empower us as we live out your purpose and love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus spoke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
same night after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do it in memory of me."
Thank you.